Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Beyond Surviving, the safe space for survivors of childhood sexual abuse to receive support, resources, and share their stories. Beyond Surviving is about freedom, healing, connection, and even laughter and fun. Most importantly, it's about letting go of the pain of abuse and finally moving on. I'm Rachel Grant. For those of you who don't yet know me, I've been a sexual abuse recovery coach since 2007 and am the author of Beyond Surviving, The Final Stage of Recovery from Sexual Abuse. I work with survivors who are sick and tired of feeling broken and unfixable, and I help them let go of the pain of abuse and move on with their lives. You can learn more about me and the Beyond Surviving program at www.rachelgrantcoaching.com. I'm very excited to have here with me tonight my guest, Charles J. Stecker, Jr., who is going to be sharing with us about how to be a genuine, authentic, real man who can share himself with honesty and transparency without compromising his masculinity. To start off, I'd like to tell you a little bit more about my guest. In his childhood, Charles survived crimes inclusive of neglect, physical, emotional, spiritual, and sexual abuses. He experienced murder, repeated loss of family and friends and belongings, stolen educational opportunities, failures of the child welfare system, injustice, parental alienation, and abandonment. Some of his adult struggles include business failures, loss of children through abortion or divorce or alienation and adoption, losses of homes and belongings, loss of employment, addictive behaviors, and a time of loss of health and self-worth. Today, Charles is a man of faith in God, a proud father, founder of International Child Abuse Prevention Task Force, inspirational speaker through his speaking company, Charlie's Angels Empowerment Programs, LLC, named in memory of his murdered 2-year-old brother. Child's rights activist, youth empowerment speaker, parental responsibility advocate, ordained minister, community activist, volunteer, and victor. So we've got a real powerhouse in the house tonight. And one of his life mottos is that no matter how bad the situation seems, someone else has it worse, and it will improve. Charles offers a message of faith, hope, and love to all. He asks for no sympathy. What he does ask, though, is that you listen, perhaps even learn something from his experiences. His desire is to inspire and empower you. And his hope is that a positive change will happen in your life, your family, and your community through you. So, Charles, thanks so much for being here tonight.
Well, thank you for having me, Rachel. I greatly appreciate the opportunity to be on your show.
Awesome. So to get us started, I'd love to know a little bit more about, you know, the lessons that you have learned in order to really become the man that you are today. And I know, of course, there are probably many, but could you touch on a few that really may help our listeners pertaining to today's topic?
Certainly. Well, one of the very first lessons I learned, and it took me quite a while to learn it by you, but one of the most valuable lessons, I should say, not first lessons, but the first valuable lesson I learned was the lesson of actually forgiveness and what forgiveness does to free you from the bondage of past negativity. And far too often we as men are taught to just suck it up and not show emotions and, you know, and basically, you know, just deal with it in a way, and we internalize it. And I believe that that's why we find so many men caught in abusive situations where they are abusing, where they're doing things like that, because they don't have, they didn't been taught how to release those inner things. So that was one of the earliest or the first real nuggets that I grabbed onto, and I realized I had to learn how do I forgive these people, and I'm not forgiving them, I'm releasing myself, and then how to share that with others and be open about it. And as you know, it was very hard at the beginning as a man to be able to do that, because you're looked down on, oh, you're feminine, you're this and that, and you're somewhat emasculated. But I found ways to be able to do that and actually firm up my masculinity and be able to help other men come out and be stronger in speaking.
I hear you. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is certainly something that I work a lot with my clients around as well, is how to step into that freedom and that release of really being able to let go, you know, what you've been holding on to and the impact of the abuse and the experiences that have happened in your life. Because at the end of the day, I mean, forgiveness is really about coming out of, you know, out of things for your own good in a lot of ways, right? It almost doesn't have a lot to do with the other person sometimes. It's just, what are you wanting to release so that you're not carrying around those burdens anymore?
I give them a picture of a piece of chain, a long length of chain, and on each end you have a neck collar with a lock on it. And while we're in the middle of the abusive situation or the negative situation coming from the other person, we are locked with them. At the point where they're done doing their damage or what they wanted to do to us, they're gone. They no longer have that around their neck. But far too often we carry that other collar on our neck, manacled to ourselves, because we don't want to forgive, we don't want to let go, we don't want to forgive them. But they're gone. So ultimately,
right,
you take that off our necks, guess what? It releases us. We're not really forgiving them to let them go. We're forgiving them to get that collar from around our necks and to release us and give us that freedom to take the next step.
Absolutely.
Is the one I'll talk about next.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, I love that. And thank you very much for sharing that image, because it's a great way to connect with this idea of forgiveness that can sometimes be, you know, confusing or hard to approach. And so now, what have you noticed about, you know, how accepting your faults and your imperfections, how has that really aided you in, you know, the positive growth in your life?
Well, I'll tell you what, one of the things I've learned is, before we can get real with anyone else, we've got to get real with ourselves. We've got to be able to, you know, look at ourselves honestly, transparently in the mirror and say, who am I? And far too often we're so busy in our society looking at everyone else, trying to keep up with the Joneses per se, you know, have to provide, as men, we're looked on as we need to be leaders, we need to do this and that. But we forget that we lose our identity. We don't know who we are. We don't learn to be genuine with ourselves. So I take and I look at myself in the mirror, both physically and in that mirror. I examine myself mentally, emotionally, and I look for who am I. And then sometimes I write it out or I'll speak it out on a recording, and I learn who I am, and then I get real with myself. I accept myself. I realize I'm not perfect. I am going to make mistakes. Making a mistake is not inhuman. It's actually very human. If you're mistakeless, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to accept those things, and then and accept them, and then look at the areas where you say, okay, these are parts of me, character traits that, you know, we have to have some negative character traits because it helps us to be able to differentiate with things. You know, you can't walk around happy all the time. You have to have be able to have feel anger, but anger in a way that's productive and non-abusive. And
mm-hmm.
you know, that was the other thing that I had, that I was going to touch on a little while ago, was the other, one of the other keys besides forgiveness that I've learned is learning to not repeat the behavioral pattern that you experienced that you didn't like. You know, if
right.
you didn't like it, then more than likely, then this person is going to like
right.
it if you put it on them.
Exactly.
So, and that's another key thing that you know, I was like, you know, I didn't want to do that, and I've chosen not to by how mm-hmm. I've chosen to live my life, you know, and in constant analyzation. And, you know, thank God that I've never became an abuser. You know, I have had my faults, but so that's the key part that I wanted to share with on the first thing. But yeah, it's really looking at yourself, getting honest with yourself, and accepting yourself for who you are. Hey, you know, I'm not proud of the fact that I've lied in the past, but I have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not proud of the fact that I've taken things that weren't mine, but I have. It doesn't make me a bad person. It makes me, I've made bad choices, and I can look at them, and I can openly talk about them. With,
right.
Again, we're able to talk about the negative things we've done so often, we want to focus on, oh, look at the good I've done, and that's wonderful. But you got to get real with yourself and say, you know what, everything you've done hasn't been good, and you've done some stuff that wasn't. And when you can do that, you actually self-empower, and you find those things, and it gives you something to work on. You look and go, oh, you know what, yeah, I struggle in this area. Let me work on that.
Right.
And
it
also disarms others from coming at you with things because you've already acknowledged them and you're working on them.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of power in just naming the elephant in the room, right? And once you do that, exactly right, you then have the opportunity to heal it or to change it if that's what you want to do, if it's something that really needs to be adapted or changed. And we can't do that when we're, you know, hiding out from ourselves, so to speak. And, you know, I think there's, you can tell me if you agree with this, that there's a lot of pressure on men in some ways to perform and to look like they have their, you know, their shit together all the time, and to not be weak or vulnerable or have faults. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. And we're also, masculinity has been effeminated and made fun of. And if a man stands up and becomes a man, a leader, you know, a provider, the person who's supposed to, you know, not lord over the family, but be lord of the family and work together in unison. We're looked down upon. We're becoming a fast from the minority, but we need to not accept that. And that's another, you know, that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't stand up in an authoritarian way and, you know,
right.
you know, you must do this, but stand up and do the things, you know, learn forgiveness. Learn,
mm-hmm.
you know, they learn,
mm-hmm.
they learn behaviors. Don't use what happened to you as an excuse to perpetrate it again.
Got it.
And,
yeah.
You know, so go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh no. I love what you're saying there, because it's really about that, finding that balance and that flow between, you know, being, you know, acknowledging your weaknesses, acknowledging the faults, acknowledging where you're lacking, and also standing still in strength. Like, it doesn't somehow, you know, make you less than just because there are these imperfections. So I love this idea of, you know, almost like taking stock and looking at it with a clear view so that you can move on from there. The other thing that I was curious about, Charles, is just how, you know, has making choices that you can live with the consequences of really helped, you know, assisted you in helping other men?
Well, I found myself being transparent with other men and sharing with them, you know, my choices, both good and bad, and the consequences from those choices. I mean, not we hear the word consequences, and most of the time we think, ooh, negative. But there's
mm-hmm.
positive consequences to positive choices. And being transparent and sharing with them and having them share with me, and then, you know, how to make a right choice. You know, looking at it, saying, okay, if this choice is what you're going to make, let's look at the pros and let's look at the cons of it. which one outweighs the other, and is that a choice that you can live with?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, ultimately the outcome, like, you know, something as simple as, you know, how you deal with an angry moment. I mean, we as men are told to suppress, you know, when we show emotions, we're squashed. We're told, you know, your man isn't supposed to show emotions. We're supposed to be tough. You know, it's about making a choice, analyzing it. And sometimes, I'm not talking, we don't have time to sit down right to the guys. Sometimes we have to do it at a spur of a moment, thought process, okay, bam. Is what I'm going to do right now, what can happen, and let me make the choices that I can live with the consequence, and whatever that consequence might be.
Got that. Yeah, awesome. And so you're finding that through you being more open about the things that you struggle with and talking, you know, transparently about that with the men in your life, that in some ways it sounds like you build a stronger community of men, because you then have, you know, they open up, they're able to share, they're able to connect with, you know, what you're saying as well. And because of that, it creates more opportunities for exploring things that might otherwise just go unaddressed.
I agree with you heartily. I mean, it's like this. You have a room full of, we'll use a number of 100. Give room for 100 people, and we have someone to stand up and volunteer for something or to do something. And you have no one until someone stands up. And once that one person stands up, next thing you know, another one, two more, three more. And sometimes you get almost half a room or more. And I find that in this, as a man who's finally stood up and said, you know what, I'm not holding my secrets in anymore. I'm not just going to present all my positive great stuff. I'm going to present my faults. I'm going to be honest with them about it. I'm going to bear them. I found that being that type of man and being able to walk in or being involved with other men has given them the strength to stand up and say, oh, you know what, yes. And they can now start expressing their emotions. And I think that's one of the keys to, you know, stopping a lot of the abusive behaviors, the addictive behaviors that men fall into because of not knowing how to do that, not being afforded that opportunity. I think it's one of the things that's going to help us in the long run to slow down the abuse that's been happening, and abuse we know comes from both sides. It's non-gender based. No gender is more abusive than the other, but we as men tend to get the spotlight more, and because we're expected to just hold it all in, and
right.
I think it's led a lot of roads into addictions and into further abuses. So finding myself being open and transparent, laying out there, I mean, even in social networking world, I'm open about everything. People are like, man, you tell everybody about everything about you. Yeah, well, you know what? Not because I'm looking for me to get the attention, because by me sharing, it's helping somebody else, either by reading it and thinking, oh, I can, and giving them to do it, oh, somebody else can do it, I can do it, or by stepping up themselves. So that's a lot of the reason behind me sharing a lot of what I'm doing. It isn't for me to have a spotlight. It's for me to encourage someone else to step up.
I love that. Yeah, and you know, this month we're really focusing on male survivors and recovery for male survivors because a lot of attention is given these days to women, and thank goodness, because there was a time when nobody got any attention and nobody got any support. And in some ways, I think that we're coming into a season where men are starting to speak out more, starting to seek help more often, and, you know, kind of coming out of that hole of silence that women were in, and on the heels of everything that's happened for women in recovery, kind of stepping into that now for them. And yet there still is some taboo. There is still some hesitancy and some fears for men of, you know, if I speak out about what's happened to me, if I talk about how I was abused, that somehow I'm going to be perceived as weak or this concept still that, you know, runs around that men can't be abused, right, or can't be raped. So, you know, I really want to just applaud the fact that you are out there sharing your story and talking, because it absolutely does open the doors for other men to start getting the help and the support that they so deserve, and not hide and be ashamed or scared. So, yeah, thank you for that, Charles.
No, I want to share something real quick, Rachel, on just something that came to mind as you were talking about that. You know, far too often, I agree wholeheartedly with you about women. Women still have a long way to go for equal rights. We know, I know that. I'm going to tell you, I see a disparaging difference in areas for equality. And, you know, and I stand for women as well. But, you know, today we're talking about my focus is on men. And I want to say this. We need, if you go to the doctor for your physical health to check, you know, what's going on with physical health, we go to physical doctors, we go to foot doctors, you know, eye doctors, ear doctors. There is no shame in going to the brain doctor, your mental health doctor. There's no shame in that. There's no shame in saying you need psychiatric or psychological help. Matter of fact, that is empowering to stand up and say that too. We have put a stigma on that. Oh, they have mental health issues. Well, you know what? Every human being has a mental health issue. Sorry, you can't escape
Definitely.
It. And
yeah.
There's no shame in going to get mental health help, because if we take care of our physical bodies and our physical health, but we don't take care of our mental health, our physical bodies are just going to break down anyway or wither away. So I want to encourage, there is no shame in getting mental health help. We need it. It's a balance, and we have to keep it.
Yes, thank you for that. Absolutely. Very well said. So, you know, one thing that I know, having, you know, had some chats with you and just getting to know you, is that you really have a good heart and just warm-hearted and caring, and you've been through a hell of a lot. And so, you know, one of the things that I'm curious about is, you know, how have you managed to hold on to that kind of enthusiasm and warm-heartedness and openness and love and caring personality through it all? How did you not become kind of bitter and torn down and just angry?
I've analyzed that myself. I think while my upbringing in my childhood was not nearly stellar, I believe that my upbringing in childhood also gave me the ability to become who I am, bouncing from six different foster homes and three orphanages, my birth mother and her couple of husbands, my birth father and his few girlfriends. I've learned how to adapt to change, like, almost instantaneously. I can go from, you know, one thing to the next. If you change a rule on me, boom, I can adapt to it really quick. I think that's a gift I was given, you know. People who stayed in this place stayed always the same way. And change comes, that's one of the biggest stresses people have is, well, how to deal with change. I can deal with change in a moment. I also goes back to, I've always had, and I didn't realize this until a few years ago, when social networking first started, and I got on the Facebook world of social networking, I reconnected with some people that I hadn't seen since I was in first to fourth to fifth grade, because that was the home I was in after my brother's murder.
Mm-hmm.
And I reconnected with them, and I was asking them questions about me, because I questioned myself. People said something similar to what you alluded to a few moments ago. Charles, you have to be fake. No one can be like you are who had been through what you've been through. It's impossible. You know, and I've had psychiatrists, psychologists tell me that. I've had pastors of churches tell me that. And I said, you know what, and I'm saying, you know, I'm told I should be a drug addict, hate people, you know, abuser, blah, blah. So I'm glad I didn't turn out the way you guys thought I should. But then I kept saying, am I really me? Because people are saying, you're fake. You've got to be fake. Nobody can think through what you've been through. So I started this journey to find out, who am I? Which goes back to one of the things we were talking about earlier, you know. I had to look at me. Who am I? And in this journey, I reached out and I found these people who hadn't seen me. The last time they saw me was about 40 years before we reconnected, or about 35 years at that time. And I said, can you tell me something about myself that you remember about me from back in those days? Now, this could have been right after my brother was murdered. There was the next foster home I was in, and I was with them for 5.5 years. And I didn't tell them anything about me today. I just wanted to know what they remember about me back then. And what they told me about me back then was who I still am today. You were the guy, you were the kid that the bully could pick on, and yet you still helped the bully if he dropped his pen or you needed help with his homework. Mm-hmm. You were the kid that walked the girl home who everybody was teasing, you know. And I said, so I realized, okay, this is something that I didn't create. This is something that's born into me. And it's a gift I've been given. And I believe, Rachel, with all my heart, that this is a gift I was given. This wasn't a learned behavior. This is a gift I was given. And the reason I was given this gift is to share it with others, not to keep it to myself. This wasn't my little gift to unwrap and go, oh, look what I got. It was my gift to say, you know what? I have got something here that's unique and different. Because, and it took me a lot of years. I thought everybody was like, yeah, you go through adversity, accept it, you move on. And I realized, I've got something unique, and I've got to get it out and share with people. You know, we hear the cliche, if it changes one life, you know. I'm not looking to change one life. I'm looking for one life to change itself through what it doesn't. And I'm looking for, hopefully, one every single day somebody will be, you know, want to do that. And towards the end, it's a gift that I have that I feel strongly needs to be shared so that others can grasp. Even if they get the wrapping paper off and they don't get the full gift, they get a portion of it.
That's awesome. Thank you for that. And yeah, I think for people who have been through abuse, you know, our sense of self and who we are can be so tarnished because of the experiences that we've had. And yet we do have this kind of inner self or this authentic self that is almost like it's how I think about it is it's just kind of buried, you know, tucked away. And the more we take away those false beliefs from abuse that happen, or, you know, the lies that we were told about ourselves, or the behaviors that are there because of the abuse, the more that genuine, authentic self really gets to show through. And, you know, you really get to be that person that you want to be. And so it's really great to hear you really modeling that and representing that you can connect to that really, that absolute beautiful self that was here and put on this earth to do something amazing and wonderful and to be shared. So thank you very much for that. So I really love what you shared with us today about how to, through really being honest about your flaws and your imperfections, and through really tuning into the choices that you're making and being open and connecting with other people, that in all of those things, as well as forgiveness, being able to then really own your masculinity and connect with and build a community of men in your life. Are there any final thoughts that you'd like to share today?
Well, I talked about transparency pretty strongly here and about, you know, open and honesty. And I want to share something very transparent about myself. And it's something throughout society when it comes to men. And what I want to share is something, and it's been a taboo subject in the past, but it's something that needs to be talked about. It's just that we as men are sexually abused more often than we realize. I didn't realize I was sexually abused until I stopped speaking at a conference and started sharing, you know, my adult addiction to pornography. And when I say pornography, I want to make it very clear, not child pornography, nothing like that, but pornography is not good at all. But that being said, you know, but there's this rites of passage, if dare I even use those words, that we think that, ooh, little boys who, you know, go and look at the dirty magazines, don't have to pay. That's a normal thing for them. And giving them that opportunity to look at, or giving nowadays, you know, in the day and age we live in now, these video games children are exposed to, and thinking it's okay. That is not, you may not see that as abuse, but it is abuse. And, you know, when I realized that when I was a little boy, the adults didn't give me the books to look at or the movies to see, but the adults were doing it around me, that I was exposed to it inadvertently.
Right.
That was that set me up later on for, and I can make this very clear, no one put that pornography in front of me. Nobody made me watch it. I made the choice. I could say I was influenced by my childhood, but the choice ultimately was mine to put it in front of me, which is where accepting the choices you made and the consequences from it comes in. But so pornography in that state is just, and it is run rampant. It has caused so much stuff, and I've watched anyway, through societal changes, that women who at one time didn't have that as much or wasn't as prevalent, now the tides are turning, and women are getting caught up in the pornography addiction, and in these you know, we had this sexual free 70s where I was a little kid in, but you know. It's tore apart. It's been a moral decline in our society, and it is an abusive behavior. And if we're an adult and you have that stuff around, you have children, please understand it. A child sees that. That's abusive, and it's setting. It could be setting that child up for failure later.
Got it. Thank you. Yeah, I think that, you know, what I really hear and what you're sharing there is that, first of all, it is definitely more prevalent than we think that men are being abused. And, you know, all the statistics are wrong anyway, because if they only track what's reported and how many hundreds and thousands of people never report, you know, what has happened to them. So whether it's really 1 in 6 or really probably more like 3 or 4 in 6 for men, and, you know, because of the unreported cases. And that there are so many shades and nuances to how people can be exposed prematurely to sexuality, and how that can, you know, shape our experience and shape how we think about ourselves. Men, you know, since we're talking about men, their sexuality, their masculinity, their roles, et cetera, and, you know, and pornography can certainly be an aspect of that when really used the wrong way or exposed to someone too early. So I want to just really thank you, Charles, for being here today and really sharing yourself with us and sharing your story and sharing what you've discovered along in your journey. That's really been helpful in, you know, moving you through that pain and that hurt so that you can be out there in the world making a difference. And for anyone who's listening today, if you'd like to follow up with Charles and speak with him further, you can email him at cjstecker@gmail.com. So it's cjstecker@gmail.com. And you can also learn more about him at facebook.com/servant.of.truth. And as well, Charles, I know something that's very important to you is this petition that you have trying to gain justice for your murdered brother. And how can people learn more about that? Where can they go if they'd like to learn more about that and sign the petition?
To find the petition, not for me to give you the long link. It's actually, if you Google search the word Seth, S-E-T-H, and the word Williams, W-I-L-L-I-N-I-A-N-S, Seth Williams, and then comma, and then my last name, Stecker, S-T as in Tom, E-C-K-E-R.
Okay.
The very first hit will be the petition.
Okay.
So Google search Seth Williams, comma, Stecker, and the very and when you read, and that petition will share with you if you've read it, Rachel, you know what I'm talking about. I took it and shared brother's story from his baby bump, from his first 2 years of life, which is all he was able to live, and took it direct excerpts from his baby bump and made it his story, and then gradually turned it into people know I was sharing it. But read that thing. It's powerful. It's you know, a little boy's life. My brother had sent it before another child, and no one was held accountable for many, many years. And in 2011, after a 30-year search, I located records that now the city of Philadelphia is saying I cannot get. And one thing you don't tell me is I can't do something, because I will make them do it.
Nice.
You know, they told me I couldn't serve in our military because I have my left arm. The woman who killed my brother shattered my left arm, and I don't have full use of it. And I said I will get in, and I got in what I feel is one of the best branches of the military, the U.S. Coast Guard, and served my 6 year service with honor and dignity. So, you know, they're not going to tell me no. I will get those records. It took me 30 years to even locate them. And that's the gist of the petition, folks, just to get the point is, it's to get, I need as many signatures. I think I'm close to 2,600 right now. I'm trying to get close to 10,000 or 10,000 before 2017. And 2017 is the 50th anniversary of my brother's murder. Mm-hmm. And I want to have those. I want to have those. Hopefully, have those signatures by 2016, so that I can take it, print them, literally print all 10,000 signatures out, take it down to the city of Philadelphia, and use it as leverage to pressure them to release records that should have been released many years ago.
Go ahead.
The reason for the release of the records, and finally saying about that, is it's not about me. It's not about my brother. There's nothing that I can get from these records that'll give me back my brother or the 50 years at that point I've lost with him. But what I believe can happen and will happen is I will find a systemic problem that was in the system then that still exists today. 50 years later, despite all the improvements they've done, children are still dying in a system that's supposed to be protecting them. Right. And the systemic error is going on, and I will not stop until either my last breath is taken or I find what it is.
Yeah, awesome. So please go check that out. Support Charles's cause to, you know, really challenge the system that's in place that is definitely in many ways causing more harm than good. And thank you once again really so much for being here. And thank you, everyone, for really tuning in and joining us today. And please don't forget to visit www.rachelgrantcoaching.com to learn more about sexual abuse recovery coaching and to explore the other resources available on the site. And please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave a comment. And we have so much more to share with you and look forward to having you again next time. So until then, take good care of you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.